How's it going, everybody? It is 5:45 Thursday afternoon and an unseasonably 60 degrees outside in West Tennessee. So it's time to head along the homeward path. This is the show by me and MTG Dad for all of you MTG moms and dads at home who are playing this game on a time or financial budget just like I am. So this week, Wizards made an announcement regarding the future of competitive Magic and how it relates to their wonderful new product, MTG Arena. But this announcement is not without its concerns, and the program itself is not without its concerns. So this week I thought I would kind of break down the pros and cons of Arena, both as a platform for playing Magic on at all, but also as a platform for the competitive side of the game. The pros and the cons, because there are both to both it existing as a place to play Magic and as a way to play the game at a competitive level. But first, I got to thank the people who make this show possible. It begins with the network over at constructivecriticism.com. They are great. Like, not just dead sure why I'm still around, but hey, I'm not going to complain. Seth Manfield is going to be the captain of the U.S. national team at the World Magic Cup this weekend. I mean, Spencer and Mason are getting into hilarious Twitter back and forths, and Spencer is guest hosting on an episode of Even Odds this week as Trey can't record. And I mean, it's common knowledge, just came out with their episode. I believe it was November Power Rankings. It was all great stuff, all very much on brand for everybody. Regardless, you know, everybody stayed in character, everybody stayed on brand. And you know who else is going to stay on brand is our sponsor over at inkgaming.com. They'll help you stay on brand by getting your sweet stuff that you want to put your cards on. Accessories, gaming crates, like all the things. And you can get them at 10% off if you use our promo code CCMTG10 at checkout. So check that out. And if you want to support the show directly, you can do so at patreon.com/homewardpathmtg. We are approaching $20 on the Patreon goal. Which is to help me with my entry fee for Grand Prix Memphis in February. So thank you everybody who's contributed so far, and I look forward to, you know, any potential additional contributions down the line. I really do appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. And in the future, if you feel like you are getting something out of the show that you feel can be quantified with a dollar amount, just feel free to do so. And if you want to revamp the rewards, let me know. So, moving into our topic for this week, and it's going to be the entire episode because this is a long one and it's one that really needs an in-depth look. So, Magic Arena is currently in open beta. It's been in open beta for a little while now, basically since the rotation, and I did not expect to love it as much as I do. I'm just going to get that out of the way. There's a little bit of a conflict of interest in regards to, like, trying to assess the program from an objective standpoint because I love it. It is so much fun. But with the announcement that Wizards made that they are going, the changes to high-level organized play, the Mythic Championship Series replacing the Pro Tour, the fact that some of them are going to be played exclusively on Arena, and by extension, we would assume some of the qualifiers are also going to be played on Arena, that stores that are actively promoting Arena are going to get a little bit of a bump in terms of, you know, what kinds of events they can host as far as qualifiers and that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot to unpack from the announcement, both that's implicitly or both that's explicitly spelled out and what's kind of lurking beneath the surface, the implications of it going forward. So I thought I would take an opportunity to talk about the pros and cons of the program itself and how it relates to competitive play. So one of the biggest pros to Arena, and I've seen it firsthand, is that it is one of the easiest gateways to the game of Magic the Gathering that I've ever seen. It provides an easy interface for players to learn how to play the game, to learn what it is, what Magic's all about. Tennessee weather can't make up its mind. It's a great platform for introducing somebody to Magic because it can get you hooked really fast. A friend of mine was potentially interested in picking the game up before our housewarming party this past weekend. Now, he ended up with both a peptic ulcer and bronchitis in the same week, so he didn't end up making it to the housewarming party. But what he did do is downloaded Arena during the week so that he could learn how to play Magic before he sat down to play with us on that Saturday. And he might not have done that if all he was going to be able to do was come in and sit down and try to learn the paper game slowly with everybody sitting there waiting on him. That might not have happened. So the fact that he was able to sit down independent of the rest of us and go through a crash course of learning how to play the game while playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, not even like a guided game necessarily. You know, once the initial tutorials are out of the way, all of his practice is in real games against real decks. Like, he's learning Magic properly. And that's not something I can necessarily say about some of the people that I've tried to teach paper or that I've seen others try to teach in paper. So, I mean, the learning curve, the speed at which a player picks up kind of the basics of the game and starts to experiment with some of the nuances, the advent of Arena is huge for that. By that same token, someone like me who doesn't have a lot of free time to devote to playing Magic at once, or doesn't have a lot of money to devote to playing Magic, Arena is the perfect client for that too. Because I have been free to play since the open beta started. I have not spent 1 cent on Arena. The only thing I have spent on Arena is time. And when I say time, I mean like I played for 20 minutes this morning before I came to work, or I'll play for half an hour to 45 minutes before I go to bed some nights. And I'm looking to kind of extend that and make that a little bit more of a consistent thing that I do. But right now, this is what it looks like. You know, it's 45 minutes to an hour at a time, basically tops. There's an ambulance coming. This is fun. Driving home is fun. So, you know, Arena as a platform for me, it gives me the ability to play Magic in a meaningful way. Like, I can get a lot of games in, even if I'm just playing best of one. It's a way to play Magic, keep the muscles going, flex the muscles, keep the muscle memory going, so to speak, in terms of play patterns and that kind of thing. Again, even if it's just best of one games against a bunch of random different stuff, that's still not necessarily bad for you looking to improve as a Magic player. It's not necessarily great for you because you're not getting the benefit of testing sideboarded games, and you really need to do that, as I personally can attest. But the fact that you are getting to play Magic, oftentimes the biggest headache is finding someone else to play with and then being able to get a meaningful amount of testing done. Even if it's just a handful of games, it's hard to do at the times of day that I have free. That's the biggest issue. The times of day that I have free are usually like between 8 and 9 o'clock at night, or between like 5 and 5:45 in the morning, usually about 5:15 to 5:45 in the morning before I leave to go to work. And I can't call a friend and ask him to come over and help me test for half an hour before I go to work. I can't call a friend to come over and help me test before I go to bed. Like, it's just not feasible. And even if I could, we can't get a meaningful number of games because there's shuffling. There's, you know, the actual act of shuffling your library every time a card effect needs you to. Like, all the things that paper Magic does that take time. There's, you know, mulligan decisions take a lot more time in paper than they do on Arena. So the ability to get a meaningful number of games played in a very short time is a big feather in the cap of Arena. And from a competitive standpoint, like, I love the idea of going to Arena for some of the tournaments. I love that idea because it discourages people who cheat from playing the game. because you cannot draw extra cards on Arena. You cannot play the incorrect land off of Fetch on Arena. You can't, like, these are things you just can't do. Partially because fetches aren't on the client, but also because the client just wouldn't let you. But due to the way Magic Online was, as both a spectator sport and as a platform in general, is just a very visually unappealing thing. Transitioning to Arena, that's night and day. Like, watching Arena games is actually enjoyable. Watching Magic Online games, you really got to kind of know what's going on. And I like that I like the visual styling of Arena. Everything is a little bit more clear. It feels more fast-paced than Magic Online. The turn timer, I like the faster turn timer than like the Magic Online chess clock, where you can just sit and tank forever. Don't get me wrong, sitting and tanking to make a decision is not inherently bad, but doing it a lot is kind of aggravating as a spectator. So, you know, pushing the pace of play a little bit, that's honestly another pro for the client as a whole. Players who have only been exposed to Magic through Arena are potentially going to just play a little bit faster. We maybe won't have to worry so much about players going all the way deep in the tank and wasting a bunch of time in the round. So that's something else I really like. But again, like, all of the things about Arena that are good, it makes a really good introductory program for someone who wants to learn how to play Magic and you do not have the time or the tools to teach them. You now can guide them to this. You say, sit down, learn this really quick, and then if you want to come over here and we can get the actual cards out, we can play that way. Or I can log on and we can play against each other and I can show you kind of more advanced things as we go. Learning, you know, going from that to being able to play a lot more often, being able to play with a purpose thanks to the quest, being able to, you know, use what you're doing now to guide you into more competitive play over time. And then the competitive scene just getting a little bit of a shot in the arm from the presence of Arena due to the fact that it discourages some of the things that have kind of marred the competitive scene. It's been a little bit of a blight on the competitive scene the last few years. Those are some real pros in favor of the software. So, I mean, there's no disputing that. But having said all of these good things and heaping all this praise on this client, and it is great, there are going to be some problems. There are some things that are a little bit troublesome. I occasionally will run into problems about my third or fourth game in a row, especially at night when the servers are kind of loaded a little bit heavier. I randomly will disconnect in the middle of a game. It'll just freeze up, nothing happens. I end up having to close the client out altogether. I like to think it's my internet speed because I am on super cheap, like 30 megabit internet, because dad, house payment's more important than my internet speed. I'm not a streamer, so, you know, That is what it is. But the fact of the matter is, I can play Hearthstone and not have the same problems on that same computer. So I don't know how much of that is like the amount of power that Arena runs, how much of that is my internet connection speed, how much of that is the old hardware that I have, because it's a gaming computer that was built in like 2010. You know, whatever, it was given to me. So, you know, it was well loved before I got it. And I can't say for sure what specifically causes that problem, but the fact that it only happens on Arena and not on Hearthstone is a little bit troubling. Especially if I were considering getting a laptop to play it on to carry with me everywhere, like I would worry that my laptop wouldn't be powerful enough to run it. So, you know, that's one potential con, and it's one of the smallest ones. The second one is that Magic has never ventured into this esports realm before, and they're already, you know, making decisions and then backing off of them. We had that happen this week. They were talking about going into pushing best of one as the primary competitive format. And I hate that idea. I don't like to use that word, but I hate that idea. Because Magic differentiates itself from these other games by virtue of best of three. Sideboarding, adding such a depth to gameplay in games two and three of a match. The ability to play yourself out of a bad matchup by virtue of sideboarding and really, really tight play. Understanding what not just game one is about, but the matchup as a whole. You know, I really like that. You know, another good analogy that somebody floated to me is, you know, the Super Bowl is a best of one and tends to be mired in controversy, where the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup playoffs or the World Series are best of sevens. And while they can sometimes feel like they drag, you really know for sure who's winning by the time it's over with. Like, you know for sure the winner is the person who deserved it. The other thing that is a potential knock on Arena as a competitive tool is misclicking determining the outcome of major tournaments. And that happens in Hearthstone, I'm sure. It's happened on Magic Online PTQs, I'm sure. But the fact that we could be playing for, you know, $1 million and somebody just clicks the wrong thing, that would be really scary to me. And as much as it sucked to see Luis Scott Vargas mulligan to four in the top eight or in the finals of the last Pro Tour Guilds of Ravnica, as much as it sucked to see him mulligan to four and lose the game that way, it would suck even worse to see him lose that game to clicking on the wrong thing. Like his finger slips or the mouse doesn't register right away, whatever the case may be, that would suck just as much, maybe more. Because it would be another case where he's got it, he's actually got the game won, and you know there's a blip in the connection, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that would suck. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about for cons of Arena before I give my thoughts on the program as a whole and move on to the end of the show. The last thing as a con is not something that. It's not something that I thought about at first, and it came up during a conversation with my LGS owner, and I cannot imagine he's alone in these thoughts. So, for those of you who don't know, Goose has been running this store off and on. There was a break in the middle of it for the birth of his child, but he's been running this store off and on since 2010. And it has been a fixture of the small West Tennessee town community, not just for Magic, but for gaming as a whole, because of the way he promotes the store. The way he promotes the store is simple. He is a place for parents to bring their children to get them away from their Xbox, away from their computer, and away from their television to sit down and interact with other people face to face. And something that Goose pointed out that I did not really consider when I first read the announcement, when I first got really, really excited, even though it's probably not really going to benefit me directly for a long time, I didn't think about this. Our local scene has already had some trouble, you know, getting players for FNM or getting players for Standard Showdown. I worry about what will happen when you can play meaningful tournaments on Arena from the comfort of your own home, be they qualifying events or events to raise your rating in order to get you potentially up into that top 32 down the line. You can organize a draft, whatever they end up going to down the line with Arena. I worry about what that's going to do to the LGS community. Because, again, you know, first of all, if they can play tournaments where the result has a big impact on their future in the game from the comfort of their own home, why would they leave their own home to come to the LGS and play a tournament that doesn't matter? And it is unbelievably pessimistic to think this way, and I agree with that thought process completely. That's something he and I talked about for a while. we talked about it at length. I kind of played devil's advocate on the other side of it, but it is a legitimate concern that attendance at local game stores and sales at local game stores will drop, will take a dip, a pretty sizable one, especially for smaller ones like ours, because of the prevalence of Arena and the ability to play Magic and play tournaments without having to leave home. So, you know, the ability to play sitting in front of your computer at home, what's the point? Like, more than that, even if he decides to embrace the Arena movement as a whole and purchase some computers to put in the store and upgrade the infrastructure of the store and, you know, get it to where players can play Arena at the store, that still flies in the face of the reason he opened the store in the first place, which was to get kids away from the screens and into, you know, sitting down and talking to each other, getting out and doing something. Socializing, interacting with other people, and learning about cool new stuff. If you, you know, walk them in the door and show them a computer screen and say, this is Magic now. That's a little bit of a sad thing to have happen. And then, last but not least, what it does to, you know, events at the local level. Again, if Wizards is going to have a set of criteria that they want stores to meet in order to be able to host qualifier events, we just held our first PPTQ back in October. And we're probably never going to get to hold a big qualifier event again. Not directly for Wizards. Because we are a small store in a town of about 3,500, 4,000 people, and about 1,500 of those go to college there. That's why they live there. So I can't imagine that we are going to be able to meet the criteria that Wizards needs for a store to host a qualifier. That's going to be Memphis or Nashville for me. That's going to be another 2-hour drive one way or the other if I want to go to these qualifier events. And if we're potentially going to be able to play similar qualifier events on Arena from home, why do I need to go to Memphis or Nashville? And that hurts the bottom line of these qualifier events in Memphis and Nashville too. So, I mean, there is cause for legitimate concern that the paper game will take a dip in popularity because of the presence of Arena in the market. It will potentially hurt the bottom line of the secondary market top to bottom. So, I mean, that's a legitimate concern, and it's not really something that I had thought about when they made the announcement that they were going to pursue making Magic into an esport really seriously. But with all of that being said, the pros and cons that I've stated out here, let's give my outlook on the situation. So we've got right now, with no knowledge of how this transition over to pushing Arena aggressively is going to go. We have no idea how this is going to go yet. We can only go on speculation, and I don't like to speculate with incomplete information. So knowing what we know now, which is the system that we have in place right now, the PPTQ-RPTQ system, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday PTQs at Grand Prix, all of that. Paper Magic at its core, if you want to go through, if you want to try to grind your way onto the Pro Tour, you are going to spend a ton of money traveling to events in order to try to get there. You are going to spend a ton of money getting cards to get there, or unless you are fortunate enough to have a store that's willing to loan you cards, or, you know, company of close friends that allow you to borrow cards, whatever the case may be. You are still going to have to go through the stress of acquiring cards. You're going to have to go through the stress of figuring out travel arrangements, lodging, whatever, in order to get to these events. And some of that is going to stick around even in the new system. But all of those are stressors on somebody like me, somebody on a tight budget, somebody who doesn't have time to devote to paper playtesting, somebody who doesn't have the money to devote to acquiring the cards. because I don't know a lot of people. I don't have a very big network, and my store doesn't loan cards out because he sells them online the majority of the time, and it doesn't look very good if your customer placed an order and you have to tell them they can't get it yet. Somebody's using it in a tournament this weekend. Like, that's kind of a bad look, and I get it. So the prospect of being able to do more of my testing on Arena, to be able to nail down for sure what cards I need before I try to get any of them, without having to spend money, I can test a deck on Arena. That's great for me. The ability to potentially down the line play in qualifier tournaments on Arena from home. That's great for me. I don't have to travel. I don't have to be out of the house. The prospect of potentially, you know, qualifying for a big tournament and then being able to, you know, be comfortable enough with the interface to be able to play said tournament on that interface. That's good for me. I don't think it's going to happen in the near future. I harbor no illusions about being, you know, one of the best Magic players ever, or even one of the, you know, above average Magic players. I consider myself, I am above average in theory knowledge and below average in execution. That is me in a nutshell as a Magic player. So in order to improve, I've been working on execution, and Arena gives me an outlet to do that without having to spend a ton of time on it. Obviously, spending a ton of time on it would be more beneficial, but I use what I have. And while I do agree that the situation Goose is talking about is concerning, we can do something about that. We can keep our game stores environments where players, regardless of how much they can potentially do on Arena, they still want to come hang out at the game store. They still want to tell people who are moving to town and have never played Magic, or, you know, new people who move to town, hey, go check out Goose's. It's a great place to play. Go hang out. They're cool people there. You know, we have a say in whether or not the local game store scene dies. And I'd like to think we won't let them. I personally will do everything I can to keep people coming in the door of mine. Even if it's just to come in and play Commander for a few hours and buy snacks, that still helps him keep the lights on. And that, you know, that's the kind of thing that brings a smile to his heart anyway. So, I mean, Arena, pros and cons, I've done my best to kind of spell them out, but the bullet list, it's a good way to teach people. It's a good way to spend what limited time you have to improve. The fact that you can potentially use it to qualify for bigger tournaments is cool. It's a really just visually appealing client as a spectator sport, way more so than Magic Online and arguably more so than paper. And, I mean, it's the ability to not spend money on it if you don't want to is nice. And then the cons we've talked about. It's a software thing, and it's a new software thing. There are going to be bugs to work out. There's the possibility of misclicking yourself out of winning. There's the possibility of things, you know, it potentially hampering the local game store scene, and that's a little bit terrifying. But I think judicious usage and not, you know, falling way down the Arena rabbit hole and losing yourself to Arena in the pursuit of greatness on there, and instead using it as another tool in your arsenal to improve at Magic the Gathering as a whole, and I think it's going to be fine. I remain cautiously optimistic. Cautious because that's how I am about everything. But optimistic nonetheless. I think Magic has a bright future ahead of it. And even if it's a little bit different and that's a little bit scary, I think maybe we're going to be okay. And with that, let's take the phone off airplane mode. And while that's happening, I'm about to pull in the driveway. So let's talk about where you can contact me. So this show, I have two primary ways to get in touch with me directly. And then there's two groups on Facebook. The ways to get in touch with me directly, you can do so on Twitter at HomewardPathMTG. All one word, no spaces, no underscores or anything. Homeward at Homeward Path MTG, and then on Facebook, my name is Adam Spain. I'm for the Facebook groups. There is the Homeward Pathfinders, which is the Facebook group for the show. There is the Constructed Criticism Family, which is the Facebook group for the network. And then we have the Heezy Game Media Discord. All of these are open invite. You just have to submit a request to join, and you, within reason, should be approved. And then if you want to make my week, you can send me my favorite thing every week, and I'm in the process of pulling them up right now. So we have, as a Magic dad, first of all, as a dad, my daughter is celebrating her 5th birthday as I am recording this right now. She is 5 years old, and the doctors told us she might not live past 2, so we are going to celebrate this weekend, just so y'all are aware. So if you don't see me on Arena or very active on social media on Saturday, that's why. My baby girl's winning battles. So as a dad, there's a very specific kind of humor we're into, at least I am. And when I was trying to come up with a Twitter outreach program for the show, I stumbled upon hashtag MTG dad jokes. And it was apparently an old one, but I didn't realize it at the time. It just kind of came to me. But I love it nonetheless. Being able to make your best Magic-inspired puns. And I love to laugh. So the first one came from while I was playing Arena. I said, my opponent decides to kill Phoenix instead of Lava Runner or Gutter Snipe on the board. My opponent's at 11. I proceed to cast 3 spells and attack for lethal the following turn. I guess you could say our opponent was blinded by the arc light. Huh? Blinded by the arc light. Anyway, the other one is Brian Bronduin's article promo on tcgplayer.com. Says, if your solution to problems is to keep calm and clarity on, then this Jeskai Control article might be for you. You don't want to miss it. And it's a link to his complete guide to Jeskai Treasure on TCG Player. And I laughed so hard somebody almost yelled at me to go inside, you know, to quiet down at work. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. And then last but not least, I got a message from one Brian W. Canada from Cure for the Common Game on YouTube. He said, here's one for you. Nobody has got this one yet. A year and a half ago, I did deck number 151. Captain Sisse is legend. Wait for it. He said, 2 days ago, I redid the deck. The new video name is ... Dairy Deck number 151, Captain Sisse. He said, commitment to the long joke. It's a How I Met Your Mother reference for the people who don't know, and I think it is great. I didn't realize it at first because I didn't see the original video, so the fact that, you know, he's been at this long enough and just realized, you know, he remembered that he had made the joke even if nobody else did. I can appreciate that. Again, that's commitment, and I love it. So, thanks everybody for listening. I will catch you next week. I'm doing some wild stuff on Arena right now. There are some hilarious plays that I have shared. And I look forward to having more of them. Maybe some insight into standard deck choices, things I'm considering, things I would like to see. Regardless, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you then. Thanks.